Mark Tugubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to have you joining us for another few moments of study around the precious word of the eternal God. And the bread of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can satisfy the hunger. He's the only one who can satisfy and fill the thirst that your spirit is craving, that inner craving, that inner longing, that inner desire that you are feeling, that you're experiencing, that you have, beloved. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy and fill that emptiness and make your life to overflow with His joy, His peace, and His fulfillment. How wonderful it is to know the true and the living God. And I'm so thankful for the day that the Lord Jesus Christ convicted me of sin as a young boy, opened my heart to Jesus, and drew me unto Himself. What a glad and glorious day that was when Jesus took my sin away, taught me how to enjoy life and how to have a purpose and a reason for living. Oh, beloved, it is great. The greatest thing in all the world to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a personal relationship with Him, to have His Holy Spirit living within you so that you're never alone, that no matter where you go, the eternal God is with you and is in you, directing you, guiding you, and using you to the glory, honor, and praise of His great and holy name. Oh, beloved, oh, I would that you would open your heart to Him if you never have, that you would invite Him into your life. He loves you, my friend, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your background, no matter the circumstances and conditions that you're living in, the eternal God loves you. And though sin has done its work in all of our lives and has impacted all of our lives, has affected all of us and has caused much heartache and much grief and much sorrow and much suffering, sin is the cause of all those terrible things. But God still loves you and me, the eternal God, and His great love, God's love. Oh, beloved, it's extended to you today because He wants you to become a child of His, to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God, to be liberated and delivered from the bondage of sin, to know the peace and the joy that only Jesus Christ can give. As here in the United States and in many places around the world, we are approaching the period of time when we celebrate the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that we call Christmas, thinking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a reminder that He is coming back again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And someday He's coming to rule and to reign over this entire earth, to unite the world into a one world government under His monarchy. He will be the King of the earth, and the whole world will seek after Him and will acknowledge that He and He alone is God. And, oh, beloved, that's going to be a glorious time, and I'm looking forward to that. But right now, let's pause and ponder and consider the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do a little side trip from our present Bible study concerning the last week of the Lord Jesus walking here upon earth. We're going to do a little side trip from that, and we're going to focus our thoughts upon His first coming. And we're going to the very first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings, the book called the book of Genesis, to do our study in. Now, those of you who have a New Testament, you should keep it handy because we will be referring to scriptures in the New Testament. But the basis of our study is going to be in the book of Genesis chapter 3. We're going to talk about the seed of the woman. Now, this is a strange statement that God gives us here in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 15. Because the man is the one who has the seed that's implanted into the egg that the wife carries. A man, a husband and wife, when they're married, a man and his wife fulfill and completely express their love through and to each other through their sexual union. That's one way that they manifest their love to each other, through that union of their bodies together in that beautiful picture of oneness which the Lord describes that He intended for man and woman. And through this means they bring forth children into the world. And the man has the seed, the woman has the egg. And when the seed is planted within the egg, that's when the baby begins to grow and begins to develop within the mother's womb. And so we're going to talk about the seed of the woman. Now, this is a very strange statement that God makes here in the book of Genesis. This seed of the woman, because the woman does not have seed, only the man has seed. So what is it referring to? Well, we're going to look into this interesting and amazing scripture in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. But we're going to begin, first of all, in understanding that this scripture was given as a result of man's fall into sin. And it was a promise that God gave to mankind. And we will see how this promise is fulfilled through the lineage of the nation of Israel. And so today we're going to consider Genesis chapter 2, if you'll get your Bible and turn with us to Genesis chapter 2. But now those of you who have a New Testament, you can look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12a. There the scripture tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." By one man sin entered into the world. It was by the first man, the man named Adam. And here in the Genesis chapter 2, we see the setting for Adam and Eve. We see a beautiful garden, a garden which the Lord God had planted. And this garden is called the Garden of Eden. Gardens are a beautiful place. In Hawaii, when we used to live in the islands of Hawaii, out in the midst of the Pacific Ocean, we would visit some of the gardens there, and there are beautiful gardens that have magnificent trees and beautiful flowers in those gardens. And it often made me think, when we'd visit one of those gardens, of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are in a state of innocence placed into the garden. In Genesis chapter 2, I want you to notice verse 8 and 9 first of all. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." I want you to notice that God is the first farmer. God was the first farmer. Did you notice that? "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." Any of you that are farmers that might be listening to the broadcast, you're doing the same thing that God did here in this beautiful setting where God planted a garden eastward in Eden. "And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Here we see the setting where God placed Adam and Eve in this beautiful paradise called the Garden of Eden. Now, Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence. If you look at Genesis 2 and verse 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." You see, they're in a state of innocence. No sin has entered in. And so Adam and Eve have no shame, and they have no guilt, and they do not feel ashamed of their nakedness, because sin has not entered in at this point and at this time. And sin is what causes shame. Sin is what causes guilt. Sin is what causes heartache. Sin is what twists man's thinking and twists our minds and causes us to realize that we need to clothe ourselves. It's because of the knowledge of good and evil, which Adam and Eve did not have yet there in the Garden of Eden. They were in a state of innocence. And we see God gave a command to Adam and Eve in chapter 2 and verse 16 through 17. God was speaking to Adam, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now here we see the warning that God gives to Adam and Eve. And you might say, well, why did God plant a tree in the midst of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil if he didn't want them to eat of it? Because, beloved, he gave man a free will. He gave man an opportunity to make a choice. He could choose to obey God, or he could choose to disobey God. He could choose to do that which was right, or he could choose to do that which was wrong. Why? Because God did not make man to be a robot. That is, God did not make man with no will of his own. God desired for man to love him, and to love him not because he was forced to love him, but to love him because he chose to love him. And so, beloved, God created man with a will to choose whether he would obey God or whether he would disobey God. And thus, he gave man one word of instruction there in the Garden of Eden. And that word of instruction that God gave to man was, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Those of you who have your New Testament, if you'll look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, 1 John, right in front of Revelation, you'll read, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Beloved, God's given us instructions because He loves us. Till next time, goodbye.